Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are in Genesis chapter 22, and I was on your notes, as you can see, I was heading into chapter 23. I was just going to review this very quickly. But because with chapter 23, the story continues with the death of Sarah and Abraham, you know, buying a place to bury. That's where Hebron comes from, you know, the burial site there. But between offering Isaac on Mount Moriah at the beginning of chapter 22, you know, verses 1 through 19, and the beginning of 23, is these seemingly meaningless verses. They're just random. And as I looked at them, I began to, as always, it's like there's so much more to what's going on than you can see sometimes. So I thought, well, shoot, we're going to just kind of look at these verses and move on next week. So here we are. I'm in the NIV, in English Standard Version. It's on your notes. Chapter 22, verse 19, after offering Isaac, this is, then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. So Abraham is living in Beersheba. That is going to be 700 miles away from where the information comes in verse 20. So this goes back up to his homeland in Haran, in that area, and 700 miles, it's probably a caravan running by. Either way, it's God's divine presence. If it's a caravan, if it's messengers came by, he then hears, while he's been down in Canaan doing the things that we've been reading about, things have been happening back up in his, where he came from, where his father had taken them. And here's the verses, verses 20 through 24. Sometime later, so Abraham's living in Beersheba, sometime later, Abraham was told, Milcah is also a mother. Now, right, we hear that, it's like, well, who's Milcah? She has borne sons to your brother Nahor. Now, we know this, Nahor, we've forgotten. Uz, the firstborn, Buz, his brother, Chemuel, the father of Aram, Kesed, Hazo, Pildesh, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. Milcah, that's again the wife of Nahor. Milcah bore these eight sons to Abraham's brother Nahor. Now again, this is important also. Eight sons. Milcah bore these eight sons to Abram's brother Nahor, his concubine. Again, we don't understand concubines. Whose name was Ruma, also had sons, Teba, Gaham, Tahash, and Maacah. And that's four. So 8 plus 4 is 12. Now you're going to begin to see this number 12. Here's 12 sons of Nahor. We're going to get 12 sons of Jacob. And as we get into this a few more chapters, we're going to find Ishmael, and his descendants are going to be listed. And there's going to be 12 sons of Ishmael. And that's not just a random number. That is a saying that those 12 are an alignment of nations. It's a confederacy of nations or cities that are working together. And that seems to have been the number they would work for, to get 12 cities, 12 lines agreed in. That's what continues to happen here. Now, on this map, on this diagram, this family tree, you can see I've got, well, Israel, the circle for Israel, you've got 12 sons listed there, and you know that, we'll get into that more. We just talked about, and you can see Milcah up there, and the sons of Huz, Buz, Chemuel, and you can see the eight there coming from Milcah, and then also under Nahor, you've got the dot, dot, dot going to his concubine. There you've got four, 1, 2, 3, 4, Teba, Gaham, Tahash, Maacah. You add those four with the eight, you've got 12 tribes, 12 nations, 12 confederates of Nahor. You go over to Hagar and Ishmael, and there's 12 with the Ishmaelites. And then Edom is also going to have 12 coming out of from Esau. See, Jacob's going to produce 12. Esau's going to produce 12. So coming out of that family tree from Terah, Haran doesn't produce 12, but Nahor produces 12. Abram is going to produce Isaac, who's going to produce 12 through Jacob. Abram's going to produce Ishmael, who's going to produce 12. And then you're going to have, coming from Esau, Jacob's other son, 12 nations there. So this number 12 with Israel, we think the 12 tribes of Israel as being unique, of course, in the Bible. But that was the ones that God is using. That's surrounded by this same family breaking into other groups of 12. So it is something they're keeping track of. Now, this right here, this chart is right off my website. I made it many years ago, but I added some things to it because as you go back, you can see, where do we want to look here? Yeah, I've got it over there on the next page. I've added a couple things to this. Stay on this chart, please. I want to point out what we're going to look at. I hope you're okay with this. This is, like I said, you were talking about much more exciting things before class started than I'm going to have for you this evening. And I apologize. I appreciate you coming out. I want to light your light up. Light your life up. But I'm looking at this right now. You can see this genealogy. This is coming from Noah. He's got three sons, of course. This is Shem. It's listed right there in Genesis, going through Eber, Peleg, Nahor, and then Terah. Now, Terah is going to have three sons, as you know. Haran, Nahor, and Abraham. Very unique that Terah names one of his sons after his father. That you don't see that often. So those are the three sons. We know that Haran has a son named Lot, and Haran dies before Abraham and Terah and Lot leave. So Haran dies. But Haran, we're going to find out, also has two daughters. One daughter is Iscah, and the other is Milcah. Now, Haran's brother Nahor is going to marry Haran's daughter Milcah. So he's going to marry his niece. And she is going to be the one that's having these eight sons we just talked about, including the main one, Bethuel, because he's going to be the father of Laban and Rebekah. And the reason this story is important right here, we're getting ready to turn the page in this account. We're getting ready to go from Abraham to the promised son. Because we just had the event, God's making these promises, but now Abraham is offered Isaac, and God confirms it, we're going to do this, and this is the son. And so now we got to get the transition to Isaac. But Abraham is giving it to Isaac, but Sarah is going to have to give way to someone, and it's going to be Rebekah. And so we're back here picking up, where's this Rebekah come from? And she's going to come from Bethuel, whose mother is Milcah, and Milcah's father is Haran, and Milcah's husband is Nahor, and they're both Abraham's brothers. Again, this sounds strange to us, but they're keeping the property, they're keeping the finances, they're keeping the territory in the family. If you turn the page, now that we've looked at that, and look, I'm looking at a verse in Genesis. While I'm flying by, I'll come back to that. There's a box right here. Genesis 11, 27 through 32. I put this in a box so we can just read it. It says, now these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abraham, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran fathered Lot. We know this. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans, and Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah. Who's Milcah? The daughter of Haran, okay, the other brother, we should know that, but now here's the information, who is the father of Milcah and Iscah. So now you go back, we've added another name to that, right there under Haran, he's got a son named Lot, a daughter named Milcah that marries Nahor, and then this name, Iscah, is back there between Lot and Milcah. That's another daughter, and she disappears. I mean, that's almost the only thing we know of Iscah. Her name means something to the effect of a seer, or the one that can see. It's a name of a prophet. So there's a lot of ideas that if you go into Jewish writing now, that she was a prophet or prophetess. And it's interesting because I was looking some things up, and you get into the Jewish writings and all the Talmud, and then Josephus adds to what his understanding of the Talmud. And if you want to go there, your Hebrew Bible may say something about it in the footnotes, Iscah. But that's another spelling, another name for Sarah. And of course, right away, I reject that because Sarah is Abraham's sister through her father, Terah, through another woman. And so that's what the scripture says. But the scribes and the scholars, you know, that put together the Jewish writings, they want this to be Sarah, this Iscah. And there's no proof of that in scripture. It's just what the Jews say that is, and trying to make sense. But I think it contradicts the scriptures more than anything. But anyway, that's just interesting to see that right there, because in verse 29 of Genesis 11, Nahor's wife Milcah, who is the daughter of Haran, who is his brother, and was also the father of Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarah was barren, and goes on and gives the account there. Going back to the chart, there's one more thing I want to point out on that chart. You don't need to know this, but I was concerned with the names of Nahor's concubine, Rumah, and her sons, Teba, Gaam, Tahash, and Maacah. Those are sons. I thought, you know, Maacah, maybe that's a female name, but those are all sons. That was just something, that mixed box, I was just using that to confirm what we've got there. Turn the page, if you would, please. Page 2, Genesis 22, verse 1 through 19, that came into this, we read it the last couple weeks, is the climax of the life of Abraham and Sarah. Isaac is there being offered. Abraham is faithful. He goes back. Now again, like I say, when we get to chapter 23, Abraham is in Beersheba, but Sarah is in Hebron. There's a separation. Something's going on there. Again, maybe we just don't have the information. But that's going to end. Genesis 22, these verses, this is Isaac and Rebekah's family background. So now we're moving into Isaac and Rebekah. Is where this story is heading. So we're closing the chapter on Abraham and Sarah and moving into this next chapter here. And what takes place here is Isaac is going to be succeeding Abram's, Rebekah succeeding Sarah. And this is interesting, and I thought I'd mention it to you. Genesis 22:20. This is identified in many cases as the third section. Now watch this. Of the sixth book of in Genesis. Now we have talked about this before. The toledot. It's a word that's used in here, and it's really, this is one of those things. We talked about apologetics last night in framework, and some people will eventually get into apologetics, defense of the New Testament, the Old Testament. But it's easy to take the book of Genesis and discount it and make fun of it. But when you see something like this, you begin to see what's taking place in here. This is, this section that we're in, I'm going to show you, it won't take long. This is the sixth book, the sixth possibly collection, like the toledot, it means the inscription that Moses would have run, we talked about it before, would have put together the book of Genesis. That's biblical, that's what the scriptures say. But, and I said it before, it's not like he sat down and just started writing, making up this story. Is he would have had documents, and he would have compiled these things together. They probably, some of them probably were with Noah on the ark. They came off the ark. They've been handed out. Abraham's probably has them. They went with Jacob, or Joseph and Jacob into Egypt. They came out with Moses, or Moses had them. And during the wilderness years, he compiles the book of Genesis, putting together these toledotes. And what you have in the book of Genesis is 10 books. 10 books in the collection of Genesis, with one prologue beginning the book. In the beginning, and then the first line I'm going to show you. We are right now in the sixth book, and this is the third section of the sixth book, and we're turning into the final section. So if you turn the page, there you've got it right there. There's a chart on that next page that breaks this down into toledotes. The first part, Genesis 1:1 through chapter 2, verse 3, is kind of like the prologue, kind of introducing the book. And then you've got lines, or lineages. The first lineage is that of creation, where creation came from. And then chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, 8, that's Adam's line. And then you've got Noah's account, Noah's line, the toledot of Noah. 10:1 through 11:9, that's the sons of Noah's line. And then coming out of Shem, you've got chapter 11, verse 10 through 26, Shem's line. And we are in the sixth book right now. We read through Adam's book, Noah's book, the sons of Noah's book, Shem's book, and now Terah's. Now, I'm not saying, Terah is writing this down. I'm not saying, Shem is writing it down. I would probably say Noah's writing a lot of things down. I think Adam wrote some things down. That's radical for the secular mind to think that cavemen could write, but that's not the case. Adam was not a caveman. He was a creation from God who created the universe and the solar system, and he created man. And I'm sure if the solar system knew how to function, Adam knew how to think, write, reason, communicate. So that's not a stretch for me, unless you go to public school and they erase all that from you. Then, of course, he's probably trying to figure out how to start a fire. So there's Terah's line, and you got to think Abraham's recording some things. And then chapter 25, verse 1 through 11, we'll hit that. That's going to be the seventh book. That's Ishmael's line, coming up with 12 tribes. And then chapter 25, verse 19 through 35 through 29 is Isaac's line. It's the account of Jacob. It's called the Toledot of Jacob, and it records Isaac's line. And then there's going to have to spin off, and Jacob's going to have his account. So Esau, book 9, is Esau's account. And then finally, chapter 37 through 50, now we've got the story of Jacob and his family and the 12 sons and where they all come from. You know that. But that is how the book of Genesis is broken down. And we are right now in the sixth book, in the third section, preparing everything in this book to transfer the information or the storyline from Abraham, the one that received the promise, to the promised son who's going to start putting things in action and are going to start taking place. So book 6, bottom page 3, book 6 has three sections. An introduction, beginning of chapter 11, the main body, chapter 12 through 22. That's where we're at. We just got up to that point. So from ever the calling of Abraham up to 22, that's the main section. The transition to the next section of the book of Genesis and the generation, that begins now in this third section of the sixth book, and you can see that's broken down there. So that's just interesting, I think, to see those things take place. We could go through, I will point this out, as we look at the sons, going back to, real quickly, chapter 23, verse 21, when it mentions the names, like Uz, the firstborn. It's interesting that Uz is a land. The word means wood, and it's in the Arabian desert west of Babylon. That's Uz, and that right there is Uz was the land. You know who came from the land of Uz, and that's Job. Job is from the land of Uz. So that's interesting that Job is from that part of the country, and that maybe he's a descendant of the same family as Abraham, although he's not an Israelite. He would be from that same family from Terah. and we can go through those names as we want to. But that ends that section, and now in chapter 23 we begin chapter 23, that the next part with the death of Sarah, and I think that's what we're going to start with and go through that next week. Oh my gosh, I'm out of material. I will start chapter 23 next week. I just wanted to fill that in on that gap, because it looks, when I read through the book of Genesis, you see those genealogies, they seem scattered, is what's going on. But there's a strategy going behind them of how this is all fitting together. So with that, I will pray, and then please ask some questions, have some dialogue, continue our war stories, find out what's going on, or, you know, Antichrist speculations. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be together. We thank you for the Word of God, and we ask that we may live a life that is pleasing to you, that we would be able to discern the history that we're living in, be able to choose right and wrong, be able to lead people towards light and live in light ourselves. We do thank you for this opportunity at this time in history. We pray for our nation, we pray for our leadership, and ask that we may understand your grace and the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.